here. I love seeing the faces. You're familiar to me, a lot of you. The only difference is the hair's turned white. But that's what happens to us all. I go through that too. And I want to thank all those that came who are not members here who came. I didn't expect to see so many of them here. I'm grateful. Thank you. It's well appreciated. Back to Romans chapter 8. This morning we're going to be talking about spirituality versus worldliness. We have to become spiritually minded people in order to please God. We cannot please God if we are worldly minded people. And when the scripture was read this morning, that sort of hit home. Look again at Romans 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 and verse 5 and following. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds, and by the way, I'm reading out of the ESV, so it might be a little different. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. It's told us right there that we cannot set our minds on the ways of the flesh. We cannot allow this world to rule our hearts. We cannot allow this world to rule our direction, our walk in life. We have to be spiritually minded people. Verse 6, for to set on the flesh is death. Let me read that again. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh, this thing's too low for my eyesight, but to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And so what we want to show this morning is that we have to be spiritually minded people. To set the mind on the flesh is death. To set the mind on the Spirit is life. It's as simple as that. And of course, the choice is obvious. We don't want death. We want eternal life. And so we need to set our minds on the Spirit. Verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Brethren, it's very clear. You have to choose. I like to say this. We need to make a change in our lives. When we're born into this world, we are worldly people. But at some point, as we grow and as we go through the growth process, we should come to an understanding that there's a difference between spiritual and worldly. And we need to make that decision at some point in our young lives, hopefully, to leave the world behind and come into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Look at Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1:13. Colossians 1 and verse 13. And I'm sure most of us know that he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You have to leave the domain of darkness. And you need to come into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You have to leave the kingdom of darkness and come into the kingdom of light. And that takes a spiritual mindset. You can't do it if you're still setting your mind on the things of the flesh. The world has to die to you. And you need to be born again and brought into the kingdom. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We need to become new. We need to be changed. We need to give our lives to Jesus. Now, when Jesus was starting out in his ministry many, many years ago, he was in Jerusalem. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Here's a story that I think relates to us exactly what we're talking about. It's the story of Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus is mentioned three times in the Bible. He's mentioned here in John chapter 3 when he has a conversation with Jesus. He's also mentioned in chapter 7, I think it's verse, where the Sanhedrin has decided they want to put Jesus to death. And Nicodemus speaks up and he says, is it according to our law that we judge someone before he has a hearing? And they say to him, are you from Galilee? Search and see. No prophet ever came out of Galilee. And by the way, that's wrong, because Elijah came out of Galilee. Nahum came out of Galilee. As a matter of fact, Capernaum is in other Galilee in the north. See? And in Hebrew, the word is Kapur Nahum. It's Kapur means village, and Nahum is the prophet. So it's the village of Nahum, Capernaum, we say in English. And there were others that came from there. Jonah was from Galilee. And so these Pharisees who were telling Nicodemus, you know, search and see, no one ever comes from there. They had evidently a negative feeling about Galilee in the north because they weren't following Scripture. There were prophets from Galilee. And he's also mentioned at the burial of Jesus when Joseph of Arimathea, Scripture said he was a disciple, but secretly for fear of the Jews. Maybe Nicodemus was a disciple secretly for fear of the Jews. But we know that Joseph came and asked for Jesus' body, and that Nicodemus joined in with about 75 pounds of fragrant herbs, and of course they prepared that body for burial. They took it and put it in the tomb. And so those are the three times that Nicodemus is mentioned here. Let's read verse 1 of John chapter 3. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. There are three things we learn from that. Number one, he's a Pharisee. A Pharisee. They are the strictest of the sects, of the Jewish groups. There was the Sadducees, the Pharisees, there were the Essenes, and there were other groups. The Jews were divided in their beliefs. And the Pharisees were the strictest. They also believed in the resurrection and the afterlife. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection and the afterlife. So the Pharisees did have something going for them. But one thing, there was a tradition about following the writings of men. And in other words, they made a lot of laws that were preventative laws to keep you from breaking the law of Moses. Does that make sense? They wrote preventative laws. It's called the Mishnah. And they wrote it down, and there were certain things they wouldn't allow you to do. An example of that is when Jesus and his apostles were picking grain and eating it without washing their hands. Remember that story? And they complained, the Pharisees complained and said, why are you breaking the law? Your disciples are eating without washing their hands. Well, nowhere in the law of Moses does it say to wash your hands before you eat. That was part of that law, that preventative law that the Pharisees had developed. And Jesus says they teach for commandments of God, the traditions of men. And so he had this against them. And don't forget, over in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom. And so Jesus had something against these Pharisees, even though they believed in the resurrection and the afterlife. So his name was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. His name was Nicodemus. Nicodemus means victory over the people. Based on this man's stature in life, yeah, he did. He was victorious. He was a Jewish leader. The next phrase says, a ruler of the Jews. He had risen up among the people. He was a part of the Sanhedrin, which is the Jewish court. It's like the United States Supreme Court for Israel. It was Israel's Supreme Court. And they judged everything. And they even judged Jesus and put him to death. This man, Nicodemus, a ruler of the people. Verse 2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So he had some real insight here, some good insight. Jesus, we know that you are a teacher come from God. No one can do the things you do unless God is with them. Look at chapter 2 and verse 23 and notice what Jesus was doing while he was in Jerusalem, the Feast of the October. 2 verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. You can't heal a blind man without God's help. You can't help somebody to overcome a disability which says that, you know, they've been crippled for life and all of a sudden they're walking. Jesus is doing these things. It doesn't take much of a understanding to realize God has to be with them. So Nicodemus realized God was with Jesus. Keep reading with me in verse 3. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus also knows the hearts of all mankind. Nicodemus, you got it right. I'm from God, Jesus is saying. I'm from God, and I can't do these things unless my Father has given me the power to do these things. That's true. But Jesus doesn't continue the conversation about what he's able to do and the miracles that he's performing. He goes right to the heart of Nicodemus because Jesus knows the hearts of all mankind. Are you worldly or are you spiritual? Do you live according to the flesh or do you live according to the Word of God? He knows. Jesus knows. And so he goes right to the heart of the matter. Nicodemus is a worldly man. And so Jesus tells him, you need to be born again. That means you've got to change, Nicodemus. Listen to what Nicodemus says. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now let that sink in. The only thing that Nicodemus could imagine was physical birth. How important is physical birth to our spiritual lives? Okay, that's obvious. You can't have a spiritual life unless you're born physically first. But does being born physically cause us to be right with God? That's what Nicodemus is thinking. I'm okay. Let's talk about the mindset of the Jews. Remember, the Jews said, or believed that they were from Abraham. And they were all born into the family of Abraham. And that was all they needed to do in order to be saved. I'm a child of Abraham. It's interesting, to me anyway, that John would tell them, don't presume that just because you're from Abraham, you're okay. He says, God could raise up from these stones children for Abraham. That was the mindset of the Jews. We're from Abraham. We're okay. Now, add in the idea of the kingdom. He says, you cannot see the kingdom unless you are born again. How can these things be? Nicodemus asks. Can a man, when he's old, enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? You see, he can't fathom the idea of a new birth. That's something completely foreign to him. It's not in his mindset. It's not in his heart. I'm a child of Abraham. But you're telling me that I can't get into the kingdom unless I'm born again? Yeah, that's what Jesus told him. You see, the Jewish mindset believed that just because they were children of Abraham, born into the family of Abraham, that they were okay with God. And that when the Messiah came, he was going to exalt the children of Abraham. He was going to destroy the rest of the world. He was going to mount an army and drive out the Romans, who were the oppressors of Israel at this day. And they're not going to be a part of this great kingdom led by the Jewish Christ, the Messiah. And the children of Israel are going to just be exalted. There's nothing they have to do. And then Jesus shows up and he says, you got to be born again. What? I don't have to do anything. No, you got to be born again. You got to change. You've got to become the spiritually minded person that God wants you to become. Jesus answered him in verse 5 and says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter you. That's what we're all about. The Jews are thinking, we are the kingdom. Nicodemus is thinking, I'm a ruler here already in the kingdom. And you're telling me I can't get into the kingdom unless I go through some change? I have to change? What are you talking about? I don't understand these things. Jesus would later say to him, I think it's in verse 10, where Jesus says, are you a ruler of the Jews and you don't know these things? You're a teacher of the Jews and you don't understand this? Nicodemus, what is wrong with you? Well, I just don't see this. And now to make things worse, did you know that John 3:16 was spoken to Nicodemus first? And what does John 3:16 say? I know everybody knows it. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now that was another slap to the face of Nicodemus and the Jews. God loves the world? I thought he loved the children of Abraham, those that are born into the family of Abraham. No, God loves the world. And the same thing he's offering you Jews, he's offering to the Gentiles. All those nations, all those skin tones, all those languages, all those nationalities, they're all going to come in and become one kingdom. And then let's add this in there while we're there. You remember over in John 18 and in verse 36, when Pilate is questioning Jesus, and Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. You see, that's what the Jews thought. The kingdom was going to be of the world. It's going to be a Jewish kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my disciples would already have been fighting to keep me from being turned over to the Jews. He says, well, my kingdom's not of this world. You see, it's a spiritual kingdom. And flesh and blood, in a reality, doesn't enter into the spiritual kingdom. We have to die to the flesh in order to become a spiritual individual. In order to become right with God, in order to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Keep reading with me a few more thoughts here. Jesus, let's read John 16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Do you believe in the Son of God? All right, let's review a little bit. At the beginning, we read Romans 8, 5 through 11. Talked about the difference between being spiritually minded and fleshly minded. We talked a little bit about the kingdom and how we need to become new in Christ. And we talked about how we need to be transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We also pointed out that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. And we need to go through a change. Nicodemus, you've got to be born of the water and the Spirit in order to be right with God. Now, I know that the denominational world says about that statement, born of water and the Spirit. The denominational world says that for this to happen, you have to be born of a woman first. And in other words, when the mother's water breaks before birth, that's the water he's talking about. And being born of the Spirit means you become a follower of Jesus Christ. But I don't think he's saying that. As a matter of fact, I'm betting my life on it. What he's talking about here is you must be born of baptism in the Spirit. You have to be baptized in order to be saved. Take a look again over at Romans chapter 6 with me just for a few minutes. Romans chapter 6. And I want to start reading in verse 3. I want to show you where does the change take place? Where is that point in our lives where we know that we've left the world behind and we're now living according to the Spirit? Where does that take place? Is it when you invite Jesus into your heart, as the denominations say, or some denominations? Or is there a specific time that we can know in our life's experience that we are right with God, that we've gone from the change? Well, let's begin with faith. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the faith that saves is the faith that comes from God's Word. You can't have one without the other. Let's talk about repentance. Except you repent, you all likewise perish. You need to repent. That means turn away from the world. Turn away from your sins. That's actually the beginning of this journey into the change that God wants us to go through. We must confess Him as our Lord and Savior. Jesus asked the apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered as a spokesman for all 12. And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." This was a spiritual change. This knowledge came from heaven, not from earth. That's what we're talking about here. Receiving that knowledge from heaven and pushing aside the worldly things. Jesus said, "On this rock I'm going to build my church." He was talking about the confession that Peter just made, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We need to confess that. We need to be baptized. Why? Well, listen to what the Scripture says. Turn with me to Romans 6 and verse 3. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Where does newness of life begin? When we are baptized. When we rise up out of that watery grave, we have newness of life. That's where the change takes place. I know the religious world says baptism doesn't save you, but 1 Peter 3:27 does. I know that they say baptism isn't a commandment, but Acts 10 and verse 48 says He commanded them to be baptized. You can't be saved unless you're baptized. You can't have your sins washed away unless you follow the commandments of God, and that is to be baptized. Go back to verse 3 with me. It says, do you not know? Paul is telling these people, you should know this, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Did you know that at baptism, you're baptized into Christ? Galatians 3:27, as many of us as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Yeah, baptism is necessary. And we need to wash our sins away in baptism. But let's go on and read here. He says, we're baptized into his death. Why do we need to make contact with his death? I think the answer is obvious. Jesus died for us. We need to die for him. We need to be buried with him in baptism. Into his death. Did you know that it was in his death that he shed his blood? I know that when they put the crown of thorns on him, and even before that, as they were scourging him with the Roman whip, that he bled. We know that the crown of thorns went on and he bled. We know that when they laid him on the cross and pound those spikes into his flesh, he bled. But the scripture says when the soldier pierced his side with a spear, he was dead. And out came blood and water. In his death, he shed his blood also. And we need to come in contact with that blood in order to wash our sins away. And that happens when we're baptized into his death. Anyway, keep reading with me there. In order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We too. We need to go through the change. We need not to be like Nicodemus. Think about worldly things. We need to go through the change in order to be right with God. And as we close this lesson this morning, I ask you, has everyone here gone through that change? Has everyone here left the world behind? When we believed and we repented, we died to ourselves. We died to the world. What do you do with something that's dead? You bury it. That's why God chose water. You can be buried in water to meet Christ's death, and you can be resurrected up out of that water to walk in newness of life. You got to go through the change, Nicodemus. I pray that Nicodemus, well, too late now, I guess, but it's been my hope that Nicodemus did go through that change before he met his Savior after death. And I pray the same for you. So if you're here this morning and you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we're always ready to fulfill your need. If you have anything you want spiritually done for you by this congregation, we're here today to do that. As we stand and sing the song, please come and let us.